Fox Sonic.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I am so excited to have today's guest with me, Jamie Alderton, aka Grenade J, for those of you following him on all of his platforms. Jamie is an ex-army soldier turned speaker, educator, and best-selling author of the book Mindset with Muscle, which everyone should pick up. And if you haven't already, I'm going to link it in the show notes. Anyone on my Snapchat, you've seen me link it across several times. On top of being one of the best-known tell-it-how-it-is people in the fitness industry, Jamie's also the creator of the Grenade Fit Gyms. On top of dropping knowledge bombs on all of his social media platforms, Jamie spends most of his free time with his wife and his beautiful daughter. He's also known to be quite the Grey Goose and Skittles connoisseur. Jamie, thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait for all the knowledge bombs about to be dropped.
Boom! What an intro!
Jamie, anything that I've left out there that you want to tell people more about yourself?
No, that'll do. That'll do, Brian. Apart from, I'm kind of coming away from the Grey Goose and Skittles at the moment. It's more gin and peanut M&Ms. I think it's old age. I honestly do. You know, it's gin is the new Grey Goose. Wow. So I've heard.
You heard it here first. So Jamie, you've so much done in fitness between your social media platforms, your competing days, your knowledge bombs that you're constantly dropping on your social media. What got you into fitness first? What's your journey with it?
Well, I think if we're going right the way back, it probably started at school. You know, I've been lifting weights since the age of 13. I had so much energy at school. You know, I was always getting in trouble because I can't literally sit still. You know, probably was never diagnosed with ADHD, and I probably have still got some kind of form of it now, which is good because obviously it means I burn a lot more calories. So I can eat more food. But a lot of it was, I think if I go back, I was probably bullied at school sort of ages of 9 and 10. And I always used to go to the gym for two things. One, I didn't want to get bullied ever again in the rest of my life. And number two, I needed to use some of this energy that I had. So I started going to the gym at lunchtime when I was 13. And obviously that was brilliant for me because it stopped me getting expelled from school. And it enabled me to, you know, let off some of that steam. And, I got hooked from such a young age. And since then, it's just been ingrained into me as something that I must do as part of my life because it's just been such a big part of it all that, you know, I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have any kind of form of, you know, exercise or fitness in my life. So that's kind of where it all kind of spurred from. And it's just progressed onwards and onwards from there. As it's become a bigger part of my life, I've started to kind of pick up where people struggle with it. And a lot of it is down to that kind of enjoyment thing. And I think it started with a bit of confusion from my end where, you know, I joined the army at 17, 18. Reason being, once again, you know, I didn't really want to go to prison because I had all this built up energy and no direction in my life. And, you know, I had those military kind of discipline added with that ridiculous amounts of energy. And when I came out, I suddenly got a bit confused as to why people struggle so much with achieving goals. And it took me a long time to realize that a lot of people struggle because A, they don't enjoy stuff, but B, also from my point of view, I was very fortunate to A, have done it a long, long time since a kid, and B, had it drilled into me from the military. And a lot of people didn't have that upbringing like I did and didn't have that military discipline. So as the years went on, before I became a personal trainer, I started to develop a lot more self-awareness of myself. And a lot of that came from the whole fitness thing, because one thing I realized is that the increase in confidence when you're obviously A, setting goals and B, exercising and looking after yourself. Yeah. And building up that empathy for understanding people better, as if to say to myself, look, Jamie, you are, you know, you're one lucky son of a bitch. You've been doing this your entire life and people haven't been blessed with finding something that is actually going to benefit their life at such a young age. So I learned very quickly how, well, say very quickly, you know, it took 15 years, but
greater scheme of things very quickly.
Yeah, in the grander scheme, I learned what people are looking for. You know, I learned that empathy thing, and I learned, look, you know, how can I do what I do and teach people how I feel about it by showing them what it is that I do and how they can do it themselves. And that's kind of the journey that I've been down in the fitness industry ever since I've been in it. You know, I've never been that person on social media to say, you must do this, you must do that, you must do that. I really understood the power of autonomy.
Yeah.
People don't want to be told what to do. They want to see what's working and decide for themselves. And that this is something that I've always done on my social media. It's just like, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm showing you what I do, showing you how cool it is and showing how it's benefited my life. And if you want to come along, I'll show you how.
Yeah.
And that is how, A, how marketing works really well, and B, how people actually are inspired to do things and make changes in their lives. So it's been a very interesting journey with my own fitness, pushing the boundaries of what's possible on many a different occasions, and also trying to understand people better and entertain and educate them in my own weird, crazy way.
That's brilliant. That's what anyone that's not following Jamie, I'm sure most of you are, because he's been the most requested podcast person to get on over the last couple of months. But I always think of edutainment when I think of Jamie Alderton. I think of entertainment mixed with education, particularly on your Snapchat stories and Instagram. There's so much value there, but in such an entertaining way. And I love how you get that message across. Jamie, you're somebody that your motto in life, and stop me if I'm wrong, is get shit done. Like, I've seen it in the book. I've seen it across your platforms. Normally, anyone that's as successful as you are in all aspects of life, with physique, with business, with everything, normally starts with some form of morning routine. And I'm not going to say too much, because hopefully everyone that has your book here is going to pick it up, so they'll get more about how your day is laid out. But what does the first 60 minutes of your day look like? Or do you have a specific morning routine that you live by?
My perfect morning routine is generally I'll get up early. I'll go for a walk about an hour and a quarter. I'm very fortunate to live about 10 minutes from the beach. Come back, have breakfast. I watch a couple of YouTube videos that get me fired up for the day. As I'm doing a walk, I'm very much a proactive person for the first 2 hours of my day. It's something that a lot of people need to remember when it comes to stress levels, when it comes to, you know, getting the most out of your day. Everyone is very much in a reactive state. And what I mean by that is that they wake up, they answer emails straight away from getting out of bed, they check social media, they comment, and that you're not in a good state to be able to, A, talk properly, as in responding to people, and B, you know, be in a position where you're able to serve people. And one thing that I do is that I'm very proactive on Snapchat in the morning. It's more of a kind of brain dump. Something that a lot of successful people do is that they journal in the morning. They put down their thoughts. They, you know, they let it all out, let their thoughts out without expecting anything in return yet. They're just getting themselves set up for the day. And that's what the kind of first hour, hour and a half of my day is. Going for a walk, dropping loads of knowledge bombs on Snapchat, having breakfast, getting fired up, and then, and only then, it's floodlights in, or, you know, floodgates in, then I'm more into response mode. You know, I'm more ready to, you know, fight fires, as they say, rather than get up and be straight in that reactive state. Because you need to serve yourself before you serve others. A quote I always love is that you can't serve others from an empty vessel. So make sure that yours is full before you start.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I was watching your Snapchat probably about 6 or 7 months ago, when you were saying, don't be reactive first thing in the morning. And I'm like, shit, I'm checking my emails as soon as I wake up. I'm going on Facebook. And I know that has served me so much. And a couple of my audience that have copied me doing it, I'm like, I copied it from Jamie. So there you go for that. Jamie, you're such, all of your knowledge bombs, particularly your nutrition, your training knowledge bombs, because obviously you've been training so much yourself, working with so many clients, thousands, I'm sure, over the last few years. What are the kind of the three biggest nutrition, training, or supplement mistakes you see that most people make in your area?
I think the first one really is looking for a quick fix and choosing things that they can't see themselves doing a year from now and most certainly don't enjoy doing. This is the most important fundamental of any kind of fat loss. And I mean, most people are looking to, you know, change your body composition and get in shape. In order to do that, you just need to follow very basic fundamentals. You know, it is that basic, but then it's also so complex, because logic, if it was logical, then everyone would be in shape. But there's so much emotion tied to weight loss that a lot of things that are basic and obvious go out the window.
Yeah.
Because when you're in a lot of pain, emotionally, physically, mentally, you will go to any lengths to get out of that. Yeah. And a lot of it is trying to get out of it without understanding why you're in it, and B, how to effectively get out of it. And that's where a lot of people go wrong when it comes to losing weight. They honestly believe that once they get to their goal weight, they'll be happy. When the reality is that you need to be happy with yourself and your decisions before you start. A lot of people are very defensive. And when you see someone online, when you see someone in person get aggressive, you know, they disagree with you, they argue with you, that's not necessarily your fault. That's not necessarily their fault. These are very strong subconscious actions that human beings do to cope with stress and tension in their lives. You know, when you are overweight and you are unhappy with the way that you look, if anyone highlights that and you're not ready to take it, you're not going to accept it. You're going to lash out, because that is the quickest way to reduce down stress and tension. You know, any kind of denial, any kind of coping mechanism is just that.
Yeah.
So when you are approaching people as a coach, when you're approaching weight loss as yourself, you need to be completely honest with yourself. And that takes a long time to do, because it's being aware that you're getting aggressive to people, you're getting defensive, and then literally having that kind of thought of gone, hang on a minute, why do I feel like this? Is it that person's fault? No, it's not. And one of a very powerful thing that I say to a lot of people, and it is getting that trigger point, it is getting those people aggressive, defensive. So if you are listening to this now and you start to get a bit pissed off, listen to what I've just said and understand that I'm here to help. I'm not here to judge. You know, I understand people. You know, I've spent a long time doing it. But understand this. It's all your fault.
Yeah.
If you are sitting in your dream house with your dream wife, with your dream kids, with your dream car, that's your fault. If you are sitting overweight, unhappy, lonely, it's your fault. One of the quotes that I find, apart from that, that really fires me up, is life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you deal with it. And I think that is a strong quote to take away. You can be in very similar situations to lots of people, but it depends on how you respond to that. A lot of people, you know, I've spoken to lots of amazing people on my podcast. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I'm overweight because I hurt my knee and I couldn't get to the gym. And I go, okay, so I've just trained with Mark Ormrod. He, in, you know, 9-10 years ago, got hit by an improvised explosive device, woke up in hospital and he only had one arm. Yet he's training with me. You know, he's going to the gym, he's exercising. And you're telling me that you are overweight because you've got a sore knee? And it's just like, fuck off. Seriously. You know, it's just a case of opening up your perspective and going, look, realities aren't your thoughts. Your thoughts aren't reality. Just because you say something, and a lot of clients, a lot of people say stuff, doesn't mean it's real.
Yeah.
If you say, I can't go to the gym because I've hurt my knee, there will be millions of people who have had it worse than you, who are still going.
Yeah.
It's just because you haven't met these people, do understand that there's billions of people on the planet and you are not special. There are people much worse off than you that are probably working harder than you that are not using that excuse.
Yeah.
And once you accept that, understand that, and also understand that your success in this world is completely down to you, that is a very powerful thing, because then you start to go, right, motherfuckers, what am I going to do when I wake up today?
Yeah.
Am I going to react to the world and spend, you know, the entire day deflecting it? Or am I going to get up and you know, as they say with a quote, you know, I'm going to absolutely paraphrase this to death, but God wakes up and goes, holy shit, he's up. And that's and that's like, yes, he's awake. Oh my God, he's awake. What's he going to do? That's the kind of mentality where you get up and everything, get up every day and you go, right, what are we going to do today? Because, Jamie, how do you go to sleep at midnight and wake up at like four and then do that again and again and again? I'm like, I fucking love what I do. And I have that mentality. As soon as I open the eyes, I'm looking up into the skies and it's just this imaginary person going, oh, he's up. Have that mentality. At the end of a lot of seminars, I say to people, and this is the end of every seminar, I am nothing special. I fucking failed miserably at my GCSEs. I spent 2 years at college, just scraped a year, because I was down the pub getting drunk. They had this thing called Sorry Ronnie, which is basically a pub that decided to have a pint, burgers and chips, and it was $2.97, so it's 2p cheaper than a Big Mac meal, so they called it a Sorry Ronnie. So I have that. I'd have that and a couple of extra pints and then go back at lunchtime, after lunch, a little bit cut, and I'd sit in IT class just playing Bomberman with my mates. And I did that for 2 years. And this is what I say to people. It's just like, I'm nothing special. I'm exactly the same as everyone out there. The only difference is I realised this shit very quickly on by opening my ears, listening to others and realising that there are no pedestals in this world. Stop putting people on there.
Yeah.
Stop saying, oh, that person's better, that person's that better. And even worse, some people put them on there hoping that they fall off.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, there is no pedestal there. You are all the same. And the funny thing is when you start hating on people, when you start, you know, blaming people, going, it's their fault, they're usually the people who actually want to help. And it's something that I've said a lot, you know, people who shout hate or people who cry hate online, it's usually a cry for help.
Yeah.
It's, I am unhappy, you're doing something that I want to do, fuck you. It's easier to, you know, find some kind of rationalization as to why I haven't got that. Yeah. When in actual fact, it's very, very different, I think, in America as opposed to, yeah, over here in the UK and Ireland, yeah, is that if you had a Ferrari and you were driving down the road, every single person goes, who's that prick? Yeah. You know, and they would do because they're just like, they're jealous.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, you know, you drive down the road Friday and it was like, hey man, whoa! That's like the worst American accent in the world.
Yeah, but message is clear.
But you kind of get the gist. You know, whenever I'm in America, you know, usually when I've been to America, I've been absolutely shredded, getting ready for a show, and people stop me in the street and go, whoa, man, hey, how... Another ridiculous accent, but...
I think it's okay. I think you're not doing
too hey, man! they're so interested. Their eyes are open. They're very optimistic people. They're like, wow, I can learn a lot from that person. You know, when you're pulling up in a Ferrari, they go, wow, that's amazing. How do you do it? What do you do? They're interested because they're willing to learn and willing to understand, as opposed to us, where if you see something that you want or you're unhappy with or makes you question your own life,
yeah,
it's you go into that kind of rationalization mode and go, oh, he's a prick. Oh, he, you know, this, he's a this. Because it's so much easier to deal with than going, why haven't I got that?
Yeah.
Why haven't I got that? That is the question that everyone needs to ask. Why haven't you got that? It's, and that isn't the question. It's like, how do I go to get that?
Yeah.
A lot of people have this lottery mentality. I'll just buy a ticket. Oh, it's a triple rollover. Imagine if I had that money. Amazing. And they don't win. And they're like, fuck, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Instead of going, wow, that's amazing. What do I need to do to get there?
Yeah.
And this is the same with business. This is the same with your body. This is the same with your brain. You've got to understand it. You've got to exercise it daily. And as with anything, you've got to be consistent.
Yeah, I love it. That's incredible information. It's so true. And I know myself, and I've spoken episodes and solo episodes about dealing with hate and when negativity comes your way, that largely when I used to do it, and I did it because it's part of the, I'm not blaming culture, I'll take ownership on myself, but it was normally a projection of my insecurities onto somebody else. And that's normally the case when you're moving in a certain direction. And if somebody's listening to this now and you're trying to make a change in your body or your life or your job and you're not getting that support elsewhere, sometimes it's people projecting their insecurities onto you. So it's a case of just take ownership for it, power through, and people's opinion change as you go along. That's awesome information. That kind of ties in with my next question, actually, Jamie. Maybe it doesn't, but if you could go back 10, 11 years to the 19, 20, 21-year-old self, what would you tell that Jamie Alderton? Where were you at that moment in time, and what information would you give him if you could go back right now?
I'd walk up to him, I'd give him a wink and a high five, and then I'd literally fuck off.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
I am so glad. I wouldn't be where I was today if I hadn't fucked up more than any other person, and I hadn't learned from the silly mistakes that I've made. And if I was there to give him advice, the 21-year-old me wouldn't listen. He'd go, who's that twat? And B, you know, I don't want to change the journey that I've been on because I wouldn't be me.
Yeah.
So I'd literally give him a wink, give him a high five, and get on my way.
I love it. Okay, Jamie, I'm going to fire over some rapid fire questions. So if you want to expand on these, if you want to one word answer them, do whatever it is that comes naturally for you on it. Ready to rock?
Ready to rock.
It's my favorite part. Okay, first question. When you think of the word successful, who's the first person to come to mind and why?
Successful. Oh, I've been asked this question before and I was just like, oh, I can't define it as a person. I think success to me and success to anyone should be being able to wake up and do the thing that you love every single day.
Love
it. If you wake up with that feeling, you are successful.
Be it
business, be it family, be it anything.
Yeah, 100%. Success is so subjective to each person, and define what that means for you and then build your life to it. Next question. What purchase of £100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 months? For example, I got a noise machine. I'm a really poor sleeper, and actually I got a noise machine that cost me like £70, was the best thing that I bought in the last 6 months because I've been sleeping every night with it. Anything like that in any area, it might have been a book, a supplement, anything, a seminar, anything that you've spent £100 or less on in the last 6 months.
I don't show my Amazon account to anyone because it is it is horrendous. It really is. You talk about impulse buyers, that's me. You know, and I explain so much that people do not buy with logic, because you think you literally, if you looked at my Amazon account and go, who is that? You would never thought, nah, that is a complete moron.
What's the most random thing that you're like, oh my god, why did I buy this piece of shit, or why did I buy this? What springs to mind when I say that?
Well, I've bought a lot of fancy dress costumes, a lot of leggings, a lot of female leggings. So I've got these multicolored fish skin ones that I had for a Zumba class. For some reason, I thought Zumba was like an 80s theme, and it's actually more of a, it's not 80s.
It's Brazilian dance, isn't it?
Brazilian, that's it. And then I bought some LED shoes. They were amazing, actually. And they've got a charger. So, and 14 different colours. I think for me, a lot of things that I buy small that help to reduce stress. I mean, I love my dartboard.
Okay.
You know, my dartboard in here gets a lot of use, a hell of a lot of use. You know, when I'm working from home, I'll cut my working hours in blocks, and my kind of thinking time is when I throw a few arrows.
Okay.
So, you know, I got that as a Christmas present, so I didn't buy it. So it doesn't really go with the rules. Anything I've purchased is usually alcohol based for less than £100. No, I do like a gin and tonic, several gin and tonics, and I do have an immense passion for gin, as you'll be finding out on Fit TV over the next 7 episodes.
It's
the little things that make us happy. You know, I'm not overly materialistic with things. You know, I do want to have a goal of getting myself a very nice G-Wagon, only because I drove one around for 6 months when I was on an operational tour in Iraq. So that's a nice kind of little Ford Focus goal. But other than that, you know, it's just little things, coffee, gin, little gadgets. You know, I love my little gadgets and that. And that's it, really. You know, I'm easy to please. Nice. Shall we say?
Some gin and some peanut. It's the peanut butter M&Ms in the new one, aren't they?
Any kind of M&Ms good, but the peanut M&Ms, they're pretty special.
Love it. Next one. What book, besides your own, obviously, do you think everybody on the planet would benefit from reading? I know you're a voracious reader because I've got so many recommendations from your platforms. And I read a lot myself. I try and get 2-3 books in every week between Audible and between normal books. What one do you think, or is there one that you gift to people most often? What one do you recommend?
Apart from my book, of course.
I have it linked in here. Plug.
The best book I've read and recommend to anyone to absorb and follow is Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz.
Great read.
If there's only one book you'll ever read in your life to help you with your life, it would be that.
Yeah, love it. That one's on Audible too. I've got that on Audible. I have a lot of audio guys because I'm an Audible king. I love it. It's my favorite app on my phone. What have you changed your mind about in the last few years? I'll give you a bit of context to this. For example, I once upon a time thought that all you needed to do was high volume training and low carbohydrates to look incredible because it's what worked for me at the time. And I was dogmatic and like, well, this is what works. Is there anything that you feel that you have changed your mind about in fitness, nutrition, supplements, training over the last few years?
Well, you know, when I left the army, I'm still quite an extreme person, but, you know, for me, it was just only putting in good foods. You know, I wouldn't have very much flexibility, should we say, when I came to trying to get in shape. I had a kind of unhealthy relationship with everything. With that, and I had a huge identity based on the way that I looked and my kind of my habits.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing, is that you do attach a lot of identity to things. You know, if you're a vegan, if you follow a certain nutritional protocol, you tend to hang around in a community of like-minded people. You tend to, you know, believe in the same values as that. And if someone contradicts that or, you know, criticizes that, you get very defensive because it's exactly the same as that overweight person. You know, you're trying to defend what it is that you're doing, because any kind of decision involves emotion and logic. So you have, you know, rationalized, as with buying things, you know, I rationalized why I needed to buy multicolored leggings, and then I kind of bought them. But it's exactly the same with anything, you know, what political party you vote for, what nutritional protocol, what training program, and especially if it's worked for you, you know, the biggest problem is that so many people go, wow, well, that worked for me, therefore it works for everybody. And an amazing quote by Aristotle, which I love, is, it is the mark of an educated man to entertain a thought without accepting it. So if I have someone say to me, well, bodybuilding is shit, I'm like, well, yeah, it probably is, you know, a lot of people, because it involves a lot of sacrifice. And just because you have a lot of sacrifice and discipline doesn't mean that you're better than somebody. You know, a lot of people, when it comes to their choices in life, they have a very kind of superiority complex about it, when in actual fact, it's more of an inferiority complex, because you're failing to understand that different people like different things. Not everyone likes lifting weights. Some people just like playing golf. Some people like playing volleyball, you know, and that's absolutely fine, because you can still be happy, you can still be healthy, and you can still have an amazing life. And I think it's such an important thing to understand, is that you are not your habits.
Yeah.
They are just the things that you like doing. You tend to gravitate to people who like those things, but also I've got lots of friends who don't. You know, one of the couple of the best times that I've been on is a few stag do's with people who don't lift.
Yeah.
Because as much as I'm surrounded by the community of like-minded people, it's sometimes nice to get out there and meet people totally different.
Yeah.
You know, actually meeting up with a load of musicians who've never lifted a dumbbell, you learn so much from those people. Yeah. And it opens up your eyes to the world. You know, it opens up your eyes to different cultures and understanding. And that, obviously, that's why travel is also so amazing. But if you were to ask me, like, 6-7 years ago to go on holiday, I wouldn't even look at the destination. I'd be looking at the gyms, the facilities, and I'd be concerned in case I couldn't get a workout in for 3 days.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm going away with my wife. I was very fortunate to win a silent auction on a desert island for 7 days in the Caribbean. So literally in October, we go out. I'm not sure where it is. It's like it takes an hour to get a boat there, and they just drop you off in this 3-acre island. There's 6 people on it, there's 25 staff, and that's it. No gym, no nothing. It's just beach, huts, food, fishing, no social media, no nothing. And I can't fucking wait.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I'll do a couple of push-ups, take a band out there, But for me, that's going to be amazing. But if you asked me that 7 years ago, I'd be panicking. I'd be like, oh, I need to pack my supplements. I need to get protein powders. In actual fact, now I'd just probably pack a bottle of gin and some peanut. So it's just opened up my eyes a lot more, you know, understanding that a lot, you know, health is the number one priority for a lot of people, but also doing shit that you enjoy doing, both that takes you a little bit away from your overall goals, as in, you know, peanut M&Ms and maybe gin, but also making sure that you have more healthier habits. Yeah. So you are keeping active, you are conscious about what it is that you're doing, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror every day, actually being proud of the decisions that you've made. Yeah. And that's a very hard thing for people to do. Look in the mirror and go, yep, I am happy with myself. And if you're not, what are you going to do to change it?
I love it. That's brilliant. And it just shows that, and I get it, it's so much, I think this is why I resonate with you so much, is I've gone to that extreme side as well, where it was, everything was about the gym, training, bringing your supplements. And sometimes you have to go to that point to realize that, oh, it's not all about that. You know, there's more to life than lifting, getting a gym workout in. And it's great to hear you say that, even for me, from a personal level, because I'm like, I get exactly where you're at right now.
Yeah. But I do have to add to that, Brian, as well. It's like, a lot of people go, well, I've seen you, Jamie, you're massive, you're shredded, you're built like a brick shit house. And you know, I've heard it, oh, it's okay for you. I'm like, well, yeah, it is, because I've been lifting weights and training for 19 years. Yeah. So I have built an impressive physique, which is a lot easier to maintain.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's life. You know, I'm very fortunate to do that. You know, I'm not sitting there earning hundreds of millions of pounds playing fucking basketball.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sitting there driving Formula One cars like Lewis Hamilton. You know, everyone's on their own path and journey. If you're new to training, well, guess what? You're probably not going to be drinking gin on the weekends or that. You're probably going to have a higher level of commitment, because that's what I was like back then. But you've just got to understand is where you are, what's important to you, and what you need to do to get there. And understand that it's your journey, not mine. So if I'm saying this and there'll be stuff that resonates with you, you know, action it. If these don't, then don't. And this is the most important thing. With a lot of people, is that they're waiting for that person who they get and they understand everything. Like, oh, that person makes so much sense with everything. That's not how you learn. You know, I'll read a book and I'll go, well, that doesn't resonate with me, that chapter. That doesn't really, no, that's not part of me. Chapter 3 is like, wow, yes, that's stuff that I can take away. And you're just taking little bits from everyone. You're saying, right, I like his take on that. I'm going to take that. You know, that's worked for me. I don't like the fact that, you know, you'll have someone that says, oh, you've got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, seize the day. But then you'll have someone else going, bollocks to that. I don't get up till 11 o'clock at night. Sorry, 11 o'clock in the morning, because my hustle's 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And that's absolutely fine. You've just got to find what works for you and experiment a little bit.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's great advice. And I love the Jack Canfield quote, success leaves clues. And a lot of the guests that I've got on, and I speak about it regularly, things like finding what works for you, take the best from everyone and apply it and build your own thing with that. So it's great to hear it coming from you too. Okay, last question. Jamie, is there anything that you believe that other people think is insane? For example, I'll give you a little bit of context on this one. I'm a high-end believer in that you can speak things into existence but using your RAS, reticular activation system, in your brain and how it works like a GPS, that if you focus on something, all the questions that you need to ask yourself will become clear when you set the end goal. And sometimes when I say that, people, it doesn't always land. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I believe when you set a target for an end goal, that all the questions that you, the things you don't know become clearer as you move towards the goal. And sometimes people would attribute, oh, that's insane, I don't believe that, that just doesn't resonate. Is there anything that you believe on any level that other people think is insane?
I understand the power of self-belief, and, you know, there's a great book by Dr. Joe Dispenza called The Placebo. I'm going to forget it, but it talks about placebo. Yeah, placebo effect, and it just talks about how powerful self-belief is. You know, it can be for bad, because if you believe in something and it's just blatantly, you know, ridiculous, as in certain things, then yeah, I understand. But your belief in your own abilities is so important. Yeah. It really, really is. I honestly believe that I can put any, yeah, if I say I'm going to do something, I will do it because I've proven it time and time and time again. As we said today, Chichester Observer just put an article out saying local gym guys running 100 miles backwards for charity. And it just hits home. It's just like, holy fucking shit. People, and what fires me up is people are like, it's just people's reaction. They're like, holy fuck, how, why? You know, that's crazy. That's mental. That's insane. But I had the same thing in November when I said, I'm going to push 140 kilo sled for 24 hours and break a 4-man world record. And they're like, how? That's crazy. And I was like, look, you got to understand, and this is what I said to them, what if I'm not crazy? You know, what if I'm normal and every other fucker needs to catch up? and it's just like, where have you set your bar? You know, just because you haven't seen something's possible doesn't mean that you can't achieve it. And it is down to that mindset. For myself, it's just understanding what's important to me. Like, a lot of people say to me, you know, you pushed a sled for, you know, I burned 24,000 calories. I lost 5 kilos in weight. I lost a feeling in 4 toes in both feet for 5 months. And, you know, but I also raised £12,000 for charity and broke a 4-man world record. And people say to me, is there any time where you wanted to stop? I said, never. There was never a time where I was like, I can't do this. Because I'd have rather died there and then failed. Because if or gone to hospital. Yeah. Because that's the only time that you were going to stop me pushing that. And it's because it means that much to me. When I say I'm going to do something, that is my identity. That's what I live my life on, and that's what I show people. It's, if you're going to say something, see it all the way through. And guess what? When you see it all the way through and you achieve your goal, you will double up in your confidence and self-esteem. Yeah. And just that double up in that confidence and self-esteem will enable you to inspire more people. When I completed that event, I was literally floating on a cloud for 2 weeks. I was getting messages from people that I never had before, and they said, look, I'm overweight, I'm unhappy, you know, I've never followed you before, but I saw your charity event and I got up and went for a walk today. That is why I did it. And so many people can do that too. And it's just that power of knowing that you can. And so many people, you know, see it as a cliche. So many people see it as, you know, something that all these motivational speakers talk about. But if you say something with absolute conviction, don't listen to anybody else. Don't listen to the noise and go, yep, I can do that and I will do that and I will show you how. Then you can achieve anything. You really, really can. It all narrows down to having a clear cut focus and plan on your goal. Don't just say things, you know, just saying things isn't going to change your life. Doing things will. It's so important. And another great quote is, you know, especially when it comes to people paying for stuff and people doing stuff, people don't pay for information. You know, they pay for implementation. Yeah. And a chapter in my book, Knowledge Isn't Power. I know some of the smartest people on the planet who are struggling to pay bills.
Yeah.
It's because they don't implement, they don't take action, and they don't get shit done. And if there's anything that anyone can take away from this, it's just do shit.
Yeah.
Just do shit, just put your head down, keep going. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be fucking difficult. But that's what's going to test you. That's what life is. You know, if life was easy, we'd all be rich, happy, and shredded. And that's not reality.
I love it. Jamie, that is an amazing way to end. I think I'm fired up after listening to you as I normally am. I just want to say a massive thank you for coming on. I know how busy you are with the gym and social media and everything that you're doing. Where is the best place for my audience to find out more about you?
So, lots of platforms. I mean, I just said goodbye to Snapchat at the moment until it gets better. But I am quite heavy on Instagram stories and Facebook, and I do answer a lot of Q&A's on Twitter, so they are all at Grenade J. So just any platform at Grenade J and you'll find me.
And I'll have it all linked up in the show notes, all of the social media platforms. I'll link Mindset with Muscle, anyone watching the video version, you can see it here, and I'll be linking it up in the show notes as well. Jamie, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.